In My 30s podcast. I am your host, McKenna. If you're new here, I am a full-time stay-at-home mom and a TikToker. I do a lot of social media, so I guess you could say like I'm a full-time content creator, but by trade and what I have been for the last several years is a wedding photographer. And while I'm kind of fading out of that, I'm fully diving into content creation. And so for today's episode, I wanted to talk about tips and what I would recommend for somebody looking to pursue full-time content creation and make it a job or like a complete career, which I feel very blessed to have this as my job. It's feels unreal that I can like live my life and be authentic to who I am and create this brand for myself that I'm able to make an income and a living off of. So I wanted to, before we dive into the episode too far, was talk about how I became a content creator and kind of my story and how I fell into it. And then we can kind of dive into some of the tips and stuff that I have for you guys on how you could potentially become a full-time content creator. So when I became a content creator, or when I became a TikToker, I should say, because the first platform that I kind of became a quote-unquote influencer, I don't really like that word, but that is essentially like what I do. I, you know, rate products, review products, talk about things, and that is what an influencer is, right? I mean, there's a lot more that goes into it, but I first became one on TikTok and slowly but surely on YouTube, and then I'm a little bit behind on Instagram, but slowly but surely getting some brand deals and stuff on Instagram. So I am very happy with kind of where things are going at this time. But when I got into TikTok, I was just posting for fun. I had been posting, I think I got my TikTok, I downloaded it in 2020. Of course, when most of the world did download TikTok, I started in 2020 and I was just posting random trendy stuff and audios and things that were just going viral at the moment. I mean, we all know, I'm not a dancer, but we all know the like little talking audios that go viral on TikTok. That is pretty much what I started doing in 2020. And I was freshly married. We had just moved to Colorado. We were living in Joey's parents' house while we were house hunting because the market was a little bit crazy. As you guys can remember, 2020, the market was rapidly increasing and making it harder to buy a house. It was very much a seller's market at the time. And then COVID hit and nobody really knew where the market was going to go. And that's like a long story I don't really have to dive into, but essentially we were living in his parents' house. I think we lived in his parents' house for about 2 months, which is funny because it's like a full circle moment. We're back in his parents' house for about 2 months. It's so funny. But if you're new here, we can dive into that later, maybe towards the end. I should have started this episode with updates since it's been so long since I've recorded an episode, but maybe we'll hang on to updates towards the end of today. But we lived in his parents' house for 2 months while we were house hunting, and we ended up getting a house in Castle Rock. We no longer live in that house, but we still own it. And that whole time I was posting on TikTok. I downloaded TikTok when we moved into our house. I was kind of slowly documenting like the remodel process that we had on our house. We just did everything ourselves, like painted, did some stuff. My husband redid our whole kitchen, painted the cabinets. Basically, everything in the house was either painted or fixed or touched up or redone. And that was really fun, but I really didn't go anywhere with social media. I posted a few vlogs on YouTube and I was having fun with that just randomly, maybe like once or twice a month, nothing consistent. And then fast forward into 2022, I was pregnant and I had my first in May of 2022. And when that happened, I ended up still posting random videos and I happened to post a story video. It was like a little story of, if anybody has seen this TikTok, let me know, because it went mega viral in 2022. And it was all about a summer salesman that knocked on my door and I was chatting with him. I told him we weren't interested. He asked to use my bathroom and I don't know what I was thinking. I let him use our bathroom and then he left. And afterwards I like felt, oh my gosh, why did I just let this random dude into our house with it? Like, I have a newborn. There was other things that happened. Like, he was like selling pest control and he was like, this is great if you have pets, if you have newborns. And I had both of those things. So it kind of freaked me out. And I went to TikTok and I just like made a story time and talked about it. And that video got about 10 million views, just under 10 million views, which was wild. And within that time frame, within a couple days, I grew probably 60,000 followers. So I think at the time when that video blew up, I had maybe 50 or 60,000 followers already. And I doubled my following pretty much overnight. And with that doubling overnight came a lot of publicity to me that I had never experienced before in my life. And I was featured on just random blogs, random internet sites, just like a bunch of random things. You could find my TikTok, my story, pictures of me. And also people were blowing up my DMs saying like, hey, I can find your address if I look hard enough. And I had had a brand new baby, so it really scared me. Fast forward, we ended up getting a security system and stuff like that. So that eased my whole like postpartum experience. And again, that's a whole nother story. There's like this whole time in my life, I feel like I could talk hours on because there was so much that was happening. Like I was a new mom and dealing with postpartum like anxiety due to this whole TikTok blowing up. I was so afraid that somebody was going to find my address, break into my house, take my baby, like all of those intrusive thoughts that come with being a new mom. To the max, because I had never experienced this kind of publicity before. And so I went from probably 50, 60,000 followers that weren't super engaged. I had just built them up over a couple years and just from posting like random trending audios, nothing that really showcased like my personality. So I would say a lot of those followers were probably ghost followers. Like I didn't really get much out of it, but as soon as I hit that, I think I got like up to 120,000 followers, right? So I might have even grown more than that. I might have even grown like almost 100,000 followers overnight. I just remember it very, very much blew up overnight. And so I was getting all these things and it was very scary to me. But I just was very cautious about what I was putting online and I continued to post. And with that came a couple random brand deals along the way. And I remember my first brand deal, it was a random company that had reached out to me and they asked for me to promote their product, which I did a little bit of research because I didn't want to promote a product that I didn't stand behind. But I will say I was very new to the game and to have the option to make money. And at this time, it was the first time that I had been offered, I think it was like $500 or something like that, which at the time I was like, oh my gosh, like I can make money doing this. So I started to take things more serious. And at the time, looking back, I think over the years, I've taken a few brand deals that I probably shouldn't have. And now I'm very much more aware of the influence that I have and the impact that I have. So I'm very more cautious about what I take on. But at this time, I had taken on a few brand deals and I was like, oh my gosh, I can actually make money doing this. And I started to take things more serious. And I remember I set this goal towards the end of 2022. I'm like, I am going to post every single day without fail for all of 2023, on TikTok at least. And so I doubled down on that and I posted every single day of 2023. I don't think I missed a single day. I'm like trying to think back. If I missed one day, it was because I was sick. But I'm pretty sure that I always had something stored in my drafts for on a day if I couldn't get something up, I had something to post. And that was the year that I, again, basically doubled my following. So now I'm sitting at around, I think like maybe 215,000 followers. And I really haven't grown much this year. I've been pretty stagnant. So most of that came from 2023 posting every single day. And I will say this year, I feel like has been the year of growth in my community. Like I feel like I know a lot of my followers. I feel weird saying followers, but I know a lot of my followers. I engage with a lot of my followers. I feel like this year is more of like an engagement with the community I already have built. Whereas last year was a lot of a growth season. And I started to post on YouTube. I started to post on Instagram, which I hadn't posted on Instagram in years. Like I just was like, I hate Instagram. I'm taking a hiatus from it. And I hadn't posted for a couple years. I kind of went through like a crisis of I was a fitness instructor full time. That was my whole identity. And then I kind of lost it. Like I quit teaching cycling due to some drama that happened with the owner. And I'm not going to dive into that, but too deep, I should say. But essentially she owed me like a lot of money and she wasn't paying it to me. And I had to, you know, seek that out through the state and get refund. Like the state had to make her pay me, kind of a thing. So without diving too much deeper into that, that whole part of my identity was gone and I didn't know what to post about. My whole entire Instagram had been about teaching spin and indoor cycling and I started coaching Orange Theory a little bit and personal training and stuff like that. So I just kind of felt like if I would have posted anything else, it would have been inauthentic and not organic content for me. Anyways, this is all just very much long story long, but yeah, that's kind of, last year was the year that I became and I started to do this more full time. And I would say that things really started to take off the second half of the year. So I posted very consistently for probably like 6 months before I started to significantly see monthly income rolling in. And I think I signed with my management agency towards the end of last year. So again, last year was kind of like a big year for that, this becoming like my full-time thing. And this year has been pretty consistent, and I like consistency rather than, last year was a lot of inconsistency, but a lot of growth. So that's kind of where I'm at. I feel like last year I found my niche. I found like what I wanted to post, my posting schedule, what topics I liked to post about. So that is kind of my story in a nutshell. And just realizing, wow, like this can actually be a career. And the way it can be a career is if I prioritize it and treat it like a job and make time when I don't oftentimes have time to make time, you know? So that's my story. Now let's dive into, if you want to become full-time in social media, these are kind of like the tips that I would recommend. And, you know, as cliche as it sounds, everybody's like, find your niche, start a niche, whatever. I agree with that, but I also disagree with that. I don't feel like I have a set niche other than being a mom and lifestyle. I would say that's my niche, but that's a very, very broad niche. And within that niche, I post, I'm a photographer, right? So like I like to randomly throw in things about day in the life of shooting a wedding, day in the life of shooting a proposal. So randomly you'll see those things, but that is like true and authentic to me. I feel like what I'm trying to say is everybody's likes and interests are their niche. If you're trying to be a lifestyle creator, that blankets like so much stuff. So you want to kind of find your niche, but I wouldn't lock yourself into only one topic, because then you can't work with that many brands. And I'm sure that you have a lot of other interests. Like for me, I post getting readies, get ready with me, where I can work with beauty brands, and I have worked with beauty brands, or Aaron's vlogs where I'm running to CVS, which brought on some partnerships with CVS. And it was honestly some of my best partnerships because they were 6 month long each month partnerships. And I made a vlog of me running to Safeway or somewhere to go get Dr. Pepper when they launched their new strawberries Dr. Pepper flavor. And they reached out to me and they wanted to have another video made of me shopping at Walmart for that. So I'm just like documenting my life as I'm living it. And with that, it brings on the opportunity to make money, and it feels very authentic and organic to me. And I can talk to my followers about things that I'm already doing. So I would say find kind of what area you want to be known for, or like quote unquote your niche. And for me, I like just wrote down a bunch of things that I like to talk about. Like I like to talk about fitness. I'm a certified personal trainer, even though I don't coach anymore. I still like to talk about it. I still like to incorporate it in my daily life, and that I would consider my niche. Beauty, like even sometimes tech reviews, because I do a lot with tech. Like I work in Photoshop, I work in Lightroom, I, you know, have a podcast. I do a lot with tech. So again, I like to review cameras or whatever. You probably won't see that as much on my page because I feel like I'm more in the mommy niche, but I talk about mom life. I focus on those areas that basically help attract the following that is alike to me. Like I want to speak to people who are interested in the same things as me. I'm not going to talk about something I'm not interested in. So I would consider that as like my niche, so to say, is I am my niche. hopefully that's making sense. And then you want to start to like develop your brand. For me, I like to keep my text consistent, the titles on my screen for TikTok consistent, kind of how I edit my videos, my YouTube videos. I like to keep all of that consistent across the board, like the same aesthetic, I guess you could say, or some people like the dark, moody aesthetic. I like more of the lighter, organic aesthetic, or like how you're viewing the world, like as it is, true color tone. Some people like to overexpose. Those are just like random things that you can think about in how you want to create and develop a brand aesthetic and a brand voice. an establishment. So like for me, I make a lot of voiceover vlogs. I feel like that's kind of like a brand for me almost. And when people see it, they recognize it's my vlog. So starting to think about those things, being consistent in how you post. I don't think that every video needs to be the same. I definitely think that you should be trying new techniques, trying new things, and just seeing what works. And if something new works, then be ready to adapt and change for that. But also, people like consistency. They are following you because they want to see the same type of content. High quality content is super huge. For me, I just film with the back camera of my phone, and I also just bought a new Sony ZV-1 and a Sony ZV-1F. Those are both really good vlogging cameras that are compact and easy to carry around, portable. They have a flip-up screen that's on the side, so I can film horizontal or vertical, and I really like that. I just got a tripod too to go with it so that I can have that camera set up when I need to in a vertical mode rather than always just filming YouTube videos with it. So I've started filming some TikToks, and that high quality value I bring to brands that work with me too. I like to deliver high quality content, so I film with high quality content and I show brands like what they can have in the videos that I'm posting, even if they're organic. Also, consistency in your high value or your high quality content. Posting consistently, come up with a schedule for you. If that's once a week, great. If that's three times a week, great. If that's every day, like what I chose, great. It doesn't have to be the same as somebody else. I know some people on TikTok post three times a day, six times a day. For me, I just can't do that. There's no way that I can do that as much as I would like to. There may be more growth in that, but I think consistency is more important than just dumping as many photos or dumping as many videos as you can get up. And then engagement. You want to engage with your audience. Comment, reply to comments. Comment on people that you follow. Like their stuff. A lot of my friends on there, I scroll instead of the FYP page, I scroll the friends tab a lot. And I like to engage and interact with my friends. But then I also like to engage and interact with people who are commenting on my video and taking time out of their day to watch my content. It means a ton to me. And so I like to chat with them back or at least reply, or at least if like I have a video go mega viral, I try to like the comments. You know, I'm human. Sometimes I get behind, I'm a mom. So sometimes I get behind, but I try my hardest. And then you want to build your online presence. So I like to diversify. I don't like to stick to just one platform. And I realized that with TikTok, when TikTok almost got banned not too long ago, still potentially could get banned, I tried to start diversifying. So I started taking more time on Instagram. I really put a lot of effort into YouTube. I have a blog, I have a website, Pinterest, all of the things. So definitely diversify your online presence. And a lot of those people will kind of jump to you wherever you are on the internet. So a lot of my Instagram followers will go to TikTok. A lot of TikTok will go to YouTube and vice versa. In order to monetize your content, there's a lot of ways as a content creator that you can monetize. And that would be ad revenue, like if you're shooting ads or brand deals, that can be a way, but you have to establish and prove trust to a brand. Sponsorships, I would say, are kind of very similar in that. Affiliate marketing is a great way that a lot of people make income, like TikTok Shop. I don't do a lot with TikTok Shop, and I don't make like a ton off of affiliate marketing. Most of my revenue on social media comes from ads and sponsorships, but I know people who make most of their money in affiliate marketing. So that would be like Amazon, Amazon influencer, LTK, ShopMy, any other kind of affiliate marketing that you can find yourself in. Those are great ways to make money. And you can also you don't have to have a huge following to make money doing that. Like if you can get really good on Pinterest, I know a lot of people can make very, very good money on Pinterest with affiliate marketing. So you could check that out too while you're growing. Merchandise is another way. I eventually would like to expand into some merch. I think it would be so fun to have some stay-at-home mom like sweatshirts, sweatpants, things that are on brand for me, and to have things that match people who follow me, like kind of just grow that community that way. That's going to build a community with your followers, but that's also, you know, that's a way to monetize. I think for me, if I ever came out with a merch line, I wouldn't want to make a ton of money. I actually think this is like a long shot, but I would love to come out with a merch line that my mom embroiders, because she's amazing at sewing, but she also has an embroidery machine and she's really good at that. I think it'd be awesome to retire her from her job because I came out with a merch line or something. I don't even care to really make money off of it. I think it would be cool if my mom made the money off of it and I sold merch. So that's kind of like a cool dream of mine if I could ever make that happen. So if I ever come out with an embroidered merch line, just know it's supporting my mom. And then memberships and subscriptions. I don't have any memberships or subscriptions other than my workout app that I post workouts on, spin videos, at home bar workouts and stuff like that. So a lot of people have memberships on YouTube or subscriptions on YouTube and Instagram. There's different ways that you can monetize that way. I think the most important thing is just like building a community, engaging, being authentic, offering value to the people who follow you. Those right there are probably the most important things before you can even make money off social media. And I think that that's how I got lucky to where I am. I really do think being a quote unquote influencer is kind of like winning the lottery. And I am by no means very big. I think I just put myself out there and I got lucky. But, you know, the more times you post a video, the more opportunities you have of hitting that lottery. So you can try as many times as you want. There's no investment other than your time there. And for a lot of people, it's a creative outlet. So I don't think that you can really, I don't really think it's a waste, even if you're posting and not getting what you want out of it. What am I trying to say? Like, if you're posting and you're not making money out of it, but you're enjoying it, I think that that is worth it, you know? And also, you're not, like I said, you're just not investing like heavy cash to where it's like a bad investment, if that makes sense. I don't know. Hopefully what I'm saying is making sense. I think being relatable, making content that you want to watch, analyzing others' content and seeing what works for them and like what hooks they use in order to capture you and capture your attention to watch the whole video. For me, I feel like my growth phase last year was a lot of viral videos that just went viral. And I feel like this year has been more about get readies with me so that people can get to know me and I can get to know them and we can chat in the comments. And I feel like that is going to make a better community is when you're being relatable, when you're chatting, when you're showing your personality, when people can see who you are. That is huge. And for me, that is what I am working on at the moment. And just being able to share more online, people like to see human and just real authentic and just real people. So yeah, learn to adapt. We kind of talked about this a little bit, but learning to adapt in a digital landscape is, it's just like always changing, always evolving. And while I think that it's important for you to brand yourself, I also think that it's important to adapt and to change and to keep up with the trends. And like hashtags used to be a really big thing, but now it's like SEO optimizing, just staying up to date with that. I don't think that that's like going, I think overall just good quality content is going to perform well, but you know, you can enhance things a little bit with just staying up to date on that stuff and networking with other creators, right? Like, I personally like to find other creators who are in similar niches as me and have similar following base and stuff like that. And I like to collaborate with them, hang out with them. I love meeting other people who do what I do. Like, I just met another mom TikToker out here in Colorado, and she was so incredibly sweet. She had a little like pop-up at a Pilates studio, and I went, and it was fun and awesome to meet her. She's much, much, much bigger than me, but she was so sweet and so nice, and hopefully I get to see her again before we move. So that would be great. Okay. In a business, this is super important. You want to be professional. So as you're talking to these brands, whether you're reaching out to them or they're reaching out to you, you need to keep track of your schedule, keep track of your deadlines, keep track of your finances, your contracts. Contracts are so important. Obviously, you're going to do a lot of this before you get a management. When you get a management, they'll take care of a lot of this for you. But you need to stay organized. You need to keep your word when you say you're going to deliver something. And you need to keep contracts because other people won't necessarily keep their word to you. So definitely keep track of contracts, to keep track of your sponsorships, collaborations. I do have a Notion template that I use, which would be really cool if I somehow got it to you guys where you guys could use the template. But I have a template that keeps me pretty organized with a lot of my brand sponsorships and brand deals. And even though I have a management that keeps track of all of that for me, I like to stay up on top of it on my end because in case anything happens, I don't know, I just like to keep up on it on my end. And I have a Notion page that I keep track of all of that. So it'd be cool if I can, I'll link it below to where you can make a copy of it. But I don't know. I've also debated on selling it on Etsy, so I'll kind of have to figure that out before this episode goes live, whether I'm going to sell it or maybe a free download. I don't know. And then overall, the last thing is you have to be patient and you have to be persistent. I see a lot of people say, I have been so consistent on posting and they've been doing it for like 2 weeks. I'm like, that is not going to work. Like, I know so many people who posted for a year, 2 years before anything happened. And so don't like quit your day job to pursue this full time. I would say pursue it on the side until it becomes full time and then dive in. So just stay patient, stay persistent. Growth is very slow. And if you have a viral video take off, it doesn't mean that you're going to have a ton of followers from that. It doesn't mean that you're going to grow. Viral does not equal like longevity, does not equal income. So like recently I had a video hit over 2 million. I think it hit 2.5 or something like that. I got maybe 100 followers from that. It just depends on the kind of content that you're posting. For me, my goal is not to go viral every time. My goal is to connect with my audience and to post high quality content that performs well with my audience. And then if it performs well with my audience, it'll hit the FYP page and hopefully attract the same niche of people that I'm looking for, if that makes sense. So becoming a full-time content creator is so rewarding. It is so much fun. The journey is like, can be super hard. Like I know that this is very privileged, very blessed. I'm very blessed to be able to do this, but it can be hard. And you know, you're constantly getting judged for things that you're doing. You're constantly being put down. The haters, quote unquote, like come out of the woodworks, but you just want to have thick skin for that and push through that. But yeah, I definitely would love to encourage you. So if you are starting on your content creator journey, like tag me. I'd love to come hype up your content and stuff like that. So let me know and just tag me in your stuff, whether it be TikTok, YouTube, whatever it is. Let me know that you listen to this podcast episode if it has inspired you to. Okay, so now that we made it to the end of the episode, that's kind of like all of the stuff that I had to say about becoming a content creator. I know a lot of it is cliche, but a lot of it is so true. So definitely incorporate that. But in terms of life updates, I like to do this at the beginning, but we'll do this at the end. So if you follow me on any other platform, you've probably heard we're living in my in-laws' house we've been here the last 3 weeks, and I think we have another 4 weeks left here. And that is because we found renters for our house in Castle Rock, and they were moving in July 1st. And we didn't want to lose them, but we were supposed to move into our house in Washington at the end of May. We were supposed to close and then move in sometime in June, but our house was not finished on time and it is still not done. I think it'll be done in about 2 weeks, but I have weddings in September. So we're going to at least stay until September 1st. And I'm going to shoot a wedding out here. Since we're already out here, I won't need to fly back out. It didn't make sense to move when our house closed because I had a wedding like a week and a half later. So we're just going to stay out until I shoot that wedding. We'll move. Joey's going to take the week off work. We'll move to Washington. It's like halfway across the country from Colorado to Washington State. And then I'll fly back for the other weddings that I have in Colorado in September. If you're a wedding photographer, you know you like book weddings over a year in advance. So a lot of my weddings are already booked for Colorado, and I will be marketing in Seattle, but I am still like getting inquiries for weddings in Colorado. And so I'm going to be back here a lot. Like I'm still taking on weddings in Colorado. Ideally, I would like them to be closer to home, but that's just going to be like a process of transferring things over. Plus I'm not taking on as many weddings anymore. I take on like a max of 10 a year, where I used to shoot like 30 plus a year. I used to shoot like 33 a year, which is insane. But now doing social media and stuff like that, I'm able to stay home and do the mom thing. So I don't want to take on that many weddings a year, because I just want it to be like the perfect couple that I shoot. Like I'm kind of picky with who I take on. I want them to like my style, and not just hire me as a photographer because of price or because of location or whatever. Like I want them to hire me because they like me. So it's worth flying back and forth when I do that. Plus it's kind of like a little weekend getaway. I joke with my husband, it's kind of like a little vacation, even though it's not. Shooting a wedding is so much fun. I love it. I just have the time of my life shooting weddings, shooting photos. Yeah. So that's where we are. We're in the process of moving. Millie is 2 months old today. That is wild. 2 months. Crazy. And Leela is 2 years and 2 months today. So that is also wild. Leela is in her toddler era. her fit throwing area. But yeah, there's our a quick little life update in terms of moving. We're halfway there, halfway through the in-laws house, and then I cannot wait until we move into our house. Actually, if you follow me on YouTube, you may have already seen a little tour of where the house is at a few weeks ago. It's obviously almost done, so there's even more progress done on it at this point. But if you want to see a little house tour, you can head over to my YouTube. You can follow me on any platforms. It's McKenna H. Ashcroft for all of my like personal Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. And then if you want to follow us on Instagram, you can follow us at the In My 30s podcast, and make sure you subscribe. Obviously, leave a rating if you enjoyed this. 5 stars help us out tremendously. And I will see you guys in next week's episode. Bye.